That's a good hymn. The one before it's a very good hymn also. That person, I believe, knows the Lord, Elizabeth Cudner. Lord, I hear of showers of blessing, singular. Let it fall on me. What? Oh, the mighty Spirit, witnesser of Jesus' merit. Blood of Christ, so rich and free. Grace of God, so strong and bound. That's a good hymn. Good hymn. John chapter 14. John 14. Title, subject throughout this is comfort and peace of God through truth. Comfort, peace of God. I need this. I need comfort. I need peace. Look at verse 27. If I had a text, this would be it. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Scripture says they cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Our Lord said there's wars and rumors of war. Our Lord said there's no peace for the wicked. Those outside of Christ, none. There won't be. But he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. He's talking to his people. He's talking to his disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Peace. I need this. A world full of trouble. Oh, my. Now, some things, we didn't deal with verses 12 through 14 last time, didn't have time. There's some things, especially in these chapters, that apply mostly, if not only, to his apostles. You understand? They are in this room, this upper room, at a table. They're sitting at a table when he said, arise, let us go hence. They got up from the table and then went walking toward the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay? And then chapter 15 and 16, he's telling them while they're walking on that way. And when they get there, then he prays that prayer in chapter 17. But he's talking to his disciples. Judas is gone. It's just his disciples. They're sitting at the table. They're supping. They're having supper. Not a sop, but a supper. Man, he's filling them up. Truth. Truth that gives comfort and peace. The truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only comfort. It's only peace. If you don't hear anything I say, hear this. It's only comfort. There's only peace with God. There's only peace with Him through Jesus Christ. There's no other thing. Not the world. The world can't give it. Christ does. Christ can. Verses 12 and following, he says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Go to Acts chapter 3 real quickly. Acts chapter 3. And this needs to be dealt with because it's in the Scripture. And because evil men, seducers, wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, and they corrupt the Word of God, and they take this as meaning all these charlatans, all these phonies, all these false preachers, and whatever they say is going to be done. If they just call Jesus' name, he's going to, that's what he said. Whatever you ask, and you're going to do greater works. You're going to do all these works. John, he is talking to his apostles right there. You understand? They made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, the dead to raise the dead. No men can do that now. Nobody has ever done one of those things today. There are no apostles. No more. And everybody says they are is a liar. You understand that? He's talking to them. All right, look at this happened in his name. Acts chapter 3, there was a man lame from his mother's womb that Peter, verse verse 3, Peter and John, about to go into the temple, asked them for some money. And Peter, fastening his eyes on him, and John said, "Look on us." And he gave heed, thinking they were going to receive something from them. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." He had the power, he had the authority, he had the ability to do this right here. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he did. That has never happened ever again since the apostles have gone. No, sir. Everybody, all this stuff going on is phony. It's fake. That needed to be said, didn't it? Paul did more than all of them. All of them put together. Why did our Lord say greater works than these? Well, go on down. You need to read this. Verse 12, Peter saw the people all ran together, and they were thinking these men were great, and they were going to worship these men. The people were going to worship Peter and John. And Peter saw it, and he answered the people, verse 12, "You men of Israel, why marvel you at this, or look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our father, has glorified his son, Jesus." He's the one glorified. He's the one getting all the glory. Acts 3, verse 13. "Whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate." And he was determined to let him go. "You denied the Holy One and the just." See who he's preaching? You see who he gives all the glory and attention to? Jesus Christ and him crucified. In verse 15 he says, "You killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witness. And his name..." His name, his power, his authority through faith in his name hath made this man strong. So our Lord said this to his apostles. Okay? "If you ask anything in my name," he said. There's a scripture that says what our Lord said, "Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven." My, 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 my. That's the apostles. That's the apostles. That's no mere mortal man. Lord, the Bible wasn't written. They were writing it. They were writing the Bible. Was it their words? Mm-mm. Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 2. He said, "I thank God that when you heard the word, you received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." God gave them these miracles and these signs and wonders to make people sit up and take notice while they were preaching. That's the aim, was to preach the gospel of Christ. That's the reason these things happen, okay? Peter, after this man was healed, started preaching Christ crucified. People sat up. These men are not ordinary men. These men are sent from God. All right, once the Bible's written, don't need signs and miracles and wonders. Don't need it anymore. People are blind to see, and the lame walk, and the deaf hear by the gospel. Dead are raised by the gospel, you said. So it's not, this is not to everybody. All right. Back to John 14. "And he said to them, and to us," verse 15, "if you love me, keep my commandments." Now, he says this over and over again. You read it with me. Why does he say that? Because he means it. It's proof of love. Can we keep his word perfectly? No. But he tells us to. Huh? Well, I want to keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. What did he tell? Did he tell us to climb Sinai? No. He tells us to keep the law? No. Over in chapter 13, he washed their feet and he said, "Now, you see what I've done to you? Go, you do it." Is that hard? If you know these things, he said, happy are you if you do them. Keep my commandment. He's not preaching Now, if you keep the law, you're going to get to heaven. He's not saying that. Prove your love to me. You know, my dad gave me things to do. Did he give me things to do so I'd be his son? You keep doing this, son, and one of these days I'll accept you as my son. No. He did it, what was good for me. He told me what was good for me, what was good for others. Keep me out of trouble. Huh? I was given chores to do. Were you? Anybody given chores to do? Yeah, I used to be somebody. I used to be somebody. Because my mother would always say, somebody take out the garbage. And Rob, pew, Dan, pew, Daddy, pew. I'm somebody. That's really grievous, isn't it? I thought it was when I was 12. Why do I have to do that? Are you serious? All that we do for you is your reasonable service, isn't it? You serve his family. You're going to serve his home. After all your father's done for you and your mother, do what I tell you. Not to be a son. Prove your love. Is that clear? Is that hard? Anybody doesn't like it? I can't imagine a child of God saying, I want to be his son, but I don't tell me what to do. If I'd have told that to my dad, Stephen, what if you told that to your dad? I love you, Dad, but don't tell me what to do. Woo! Now you're under the law. Right? Now you're under the law. I want to do what he says, don't you? I don't want to do what I want to do. I don't want to do what he said. I love him. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Keep his commandments means lay hold of them. Something you want to keep is something you don't want to lose. You don't ever want to lose it. So the world has no regard for God's word. He said, if you keep my words, he that hath my words and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. The world is not interested in the love of the word of God. Not don't need the word of God. Don't need to hear it. Don't need to read it. Don't even care about it. Boy, I do. Don't you? Peter says, words of life. Oh, please tell me what to do. And the primary thing he told us to do is believe on him and love one another. He kept saying this, didn't he, John? Why? Don't you love each other? Yeah, but perfectly? Do you? No, we're far short of that. Well, you want to, don't you? Then do it. I can't. Stretch out your hand. He told that to the man with a withered hand. Stretch out your hand. He can't. It's withered. He did. Love one another as I've loved you. I can't do it. Sister Mindy, there have been many, many people like you and me laid down their life for their brethren. I mean, literally. Go to the cross, Simon Peter did. Die for their brethren. You love that. Keep my commandment. You see how I love you? Then you do it. Is that grievous? That's my heart's desire, isn't it? Now he begins to talk about the Holy Spirit. He says, I will pray the Father, verse 16, and give you another comforter, meaning I have been your comforter for 3.5 years. The Lord was their everything for 3.5 years. Their father, their mother, their brother, their captain of their salvation, their protection, their feeder, their provider. They never worked a day, worked a job. They never plowed the land like the birds. They never sowed. He did. He gave them their tax money, everything. He did it all for them. When they were troubled, he comforted them, he soothed them, he consoled them. He was their comforter. He's saying, I'm leaving. And they're troubled. I mean, they're really troubled. And he said, I'm going to pray to the Father and he will give you another comforter. He said, that he may abide with you forever. When Christ left, where did he go? He went to the right hand of the Majesty on high and sat down. There's a man in glory. A God man. Yes, flesh. Flesh. Seated on the throne. There's flesh in heaven. Our brothers and sisters, Max, in heaven. In a body. You would recognize him. He's there. My sister, and on it goes. Mark, Mary, Turley, they're there, worshiping a man. Jesus Christ, Helen, they see him. They're looking at him. We can't see him. I get troubled all the time, don't you? That's why Philip said, show us something. What does he keep showing his people? Christ, crucified, risen, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, abides with God's people. He's a spirit. He's in them. Verse 17, he's a spirit of truth. The world can't receive. They can't receive the truth. Didn't Paul write that, John? They haven't been given a love for the truth. They turn away their ears from the truth and believe a lie. God gives men what they want. Don't tell us the truth. But God's people, He gives them what they need. Truth makes them want the truth. So, verse 17. He said the world can't receive him because it seeth him not. It's fleshly religion. They need flesh. They don't know him. They don't know him. They don't know the Holy Spirit. A lot of talk about the Holy Spirit. It's easy for me to see they don't know the Holy Spirit. It's all a sham and a phony. Why? Because that's who they're talking about. That's who they're talking about. Look over at John 16, look at this. A whole lot of talk about the Holy Spirit. And you know who the Holy Spirit talks about? Jesus Christ. That's how you know a spirit-filled people. They talk about Christ. The Holy Spirit and the Father bear witness of one. These three are one. These three are seen in one. These three, the purpose of all three is found, is fulfilled, is finished in one. And that one is who? Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Verse 13 of John 16. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. I just quoted it. Christ just said it. What's truth? What's truth? One word, somebody. Christ. He'll guide you in all truth. He'll not speak of himself. Whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me. Christ, he will receive the things of Christ and show them unto you. Verse 15, getting way ahead, but that's fine. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he, the Holy Spirit, shall take the things of mine and show them unto you. Who's he talking to? A man named John. John the Apostle. John Davis. John Sheesman. A man named Thomas. Thomas, and Thomas. That's right. Stephen heard this. What Stephen? Right there and right there. Yeah? Paul, a man named Paul heard. Where? Right here. Right here. All right, now you know what he's talking about. The Holy Spirit. Go back to chapter 14. The Trinity, Right in verse 16, this is the Trinity, isn't it? John 14:16. You know, there's lots of people who don't believe in a Trinity. Lots of religions, sincere, that don't believe the Trinity. This is pretty clear, isn't it? Like Genesis 1:1-3. Verse 16, this is the Son saying, will pray the Father, that's the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, the Spirit of Truth. That's the Trinity. These three. Oh, but God's one God. Yes, he is. The Lord our God is one God. God the Father is God, God the Son is God, and God the Holy Spirit is God. How can that be? It is. God said, I am that I am. Christ said the same thing. I am. The Trinity. These three agree in one. Christ is the one, the only way, the truth, the life. Truth of God, the true Spirit. He says he's the Spirit of truth, verse 17. Spirit of truth. You know, this book, the Lord God takes his word and operates on the hearts and minds of his chosen people. And they pass from death to life, from darkness to light. They're born again by the word of truth. God's people, mysteriously, he takes the preaching of the gospel, the word of God, and he shows these people who are blind, dead, that who God really is. He opens their eyes, opens their ears to hear who God really is. He is love. Thank God, God is love. There is no love except in God. Thank God, God is love. And God's love is forever. God's love is effectual. God's love is eternal. God's love is saving love. Whoever God's love, he loves forever. Thank God for his love. But the first thing we hear and see about the truth of God is holy. Holy, 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 Lord God of heaven. Whole earth trembles, holy. Just, he said, I'll by no means clear the guilty. God is holy. That's too strict, he said. Look at this planet. Look what one sin brought. Thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We'll show him. Who does he think he is? Oh, God. Oh, it plunged this world into darkness and filth and misery and pain and suffering. One sin. God must be holy. God must be just. There's going to be a day where we're going to dwell in a place where there's no sin. There's never any possibility of sin. Aren't you glad about that? God's holy. God is just. God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. He loves righteousness. Thank God. I'm glad. And God sent Christ to be our righteousness. And this is what the Spirit of truth tells us about the true God. The truth about you. The truth about you. This is what the Spirit comes and tells. And our Lord in chapter 16 says he'll convince. The first thing the Spirit will do is reprove you of sin. The truth about us is there's no good in us by nature. That's the truth. And these false prophets stand that God needs you. What for? There's a billion more just like you. It's like me going out in the yard and there's a bunch of worms laying around. I need you all so badly. Won't you accept me? That God needs to be made fun of. Mocked, but God is not mocked. God doesn't need anybody. He's God. He said, I am. Jehovah means self-existent, self-satisfied. Before there was anything or anyone, God. Well, he didn't need anything. He didn't need anybody. truth. The Holy Spirit takes truth, tells us truth about ourselves. God doesn't need you. You're not worth saving. You're not worth saving. Your life hadn't been what life well spent. It's been vanity. You haven't glorified me. You haven't lived for God's glory, right? No, you've lived for yourself. And you've done nothing but sin all your life against your Creator. Didn't thank me. Didn't worship me. You wouldn't come to sing my praises or hear about my son. No, you're not worth saving. That's what the Bible said. That's what God said. That's the truth, isn't it? That's the truth about me. Is that the truth about you? Is it? Is that the truth about you? It is, whether we know it or not. But the Spirit comes and He convinces you. That's the truth. That's true. And He says, now, for your comfort, God sent His Son, the holy, altogether lovely, beloved Son of the Most High God, sinless one, Holy One of Israel, the second Adam from above. Adam and Adam all die. God sent His Son to be the second Adam, flesh and blood, bones, your husband, your father, your Redeemer, the Lamb slain. He sent Him, the Holy One, to bear your sins in His body on the tree. God's going to take everything you ever did and put it on His Son, and His Son's going to die for you. Now, what you going to glory in? Now, what are you going to glory in? Anything you've ever said or done? No. Who? Him. Amen. Who died for me. Him who lived for me. His righteousness. Mine are filthy rags. His blood shed. Mine's full of sin. It's tainted with evil. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Yes. Yes. Christ said He'll take the things of mine and shall what things? All things. Christ said, all things are mine. Christ is all. And that's all there is to it. That's a fact. That's the truth. The truth in a nutshell is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And He has to be given. He has to be revealed. The whole Christ, the Holy Spirit. Go on down to verse 26. Now He said, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Verse 25, I'm with you now, but when I leave, the Holy Spirit's going to take the exact things that I've been saying to you. Everything I've ever said to you, you're going to forget most of it. He's going to bring it to remembrance. Don't you know the disciples said, oh, if we could just have our Lord back one day, why didn't we listen to Him? Dan, you ever say that about your dad or your mom? Why didn't I listen to them? Did you? Why didn't I listen? Why didn't I study in school? Many of them always said, oh, I'd like to go back and learn something. What was I doing? You don't want to know. You boys didn't hear that. What were we doing? Wasting my time and everybody else's. Unfit for nothing. A child of wrath, even as others. But God. I tell you where He did put me in school. I tell you what He did teach me. I don't know a lot about history and geography, but I know this is His story. And I know this whole world exists and turns around, rotates around Jesus Christ in His hand. That's the geography you can know. Creation was created for Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ, shows them unto her. He said, I was yet present with you, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, verse 26. The Father will send in my name. He'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I said unto you. Now these words, peace I leave with you. The truth of the matter is, God does not love every single person in this world. People take John 3:16, false prophet. They don't have a clue what John 14 through 18 is saying. They don't have a clue who he's talking to and why he said that. The word world has 7 or 8 different connotations throughout the scripture. Our Lord said, love not the world, the things of the world. If any man love the world, love the Father's not in him. Well, which is it? God love the world? He says, that love's in you, you don't know God. Which is it? Go and learn what this means. Peace I leave with you. The truth of the matter is God is angry with the wicked every day. Romans 1:18 says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven every day. Tornadoes, hurricanes, right? That's not the wrath of God. It's just natural occurrences. That's what the Egyptians said when those 9 plagues came. It's just natural occurrences. It's global warming is what it is. That's what the Egyptians said. It's global warming. That's it. Climate change. So all these Egyptians quit this and that and the other, the earth has settled down. No, it's God. Truth of the matter is, God is angry with the wicked every day. God hateth all workers of iniquity. That's what his words, that's what he said. Now, who are you going to believe? Man or God? They're believing God. How can this holy and just God, he's angry with the wicked, and I was born that way. How can this God who hates all workers of iniquity, that I have been iniquitous all my life, how can he love me? How can he have mercy on me? How can he spare me? How can he be just and yet spare me, let me go? How? Somebody tell me one word, how? Christ said, peace I leave with you. Peace with God. God says, no peace for the wicked. I'm angry with them. Christ came for some of these wicked. And he made peace by the blood of his cross. By the blood. There it is, John. By the blood. How do we have peace with God? One way. One way. God said, when I see the blood, I pass over you. Soul that sins shall surely die. God made his soul an offering for sin. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him. By his stripes we're healed. Because he's cut off, we're brought in. Because he's cast out, we'll never be cast out. Because he died, we live. You see that? That's the Holy Spirit. That's what he takes and shows his people. Anybody tired of hearing that? Well, that's about all we're going to hear in heaven. Except better. Christ is going to preach. So he said, peace I leave with you. Peace with God. Verse 27. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Not like the world gives it. I'm giving you my peace. The peace of God that passeth understanding. Do you understand that our Lord is going to the cross right in a few hours? He's going to the cross and they're going to brutally beat him, cause him pain, untold, indescribable pain. They're going to beat him. They're going to beat him up. They're going to lash him. They're going to pluck out his beard. They're going to stick thorns down on his head. You understand that? They're going to nail nails in his hand and hang him on a cross and drop it in a hole. And he's going to hang there without a drop of water for 6 hours. And yet he says to these men, my peace I give unto you. I have perfect peace. He had perfect peace. He's comforting them. He's going to go through that. He's comforting them. How? He has a peace that passes understanding. He has a peace that I don't have, I need. Don't you? He kept telling his disciples, you're going to be hated. They're going to do this to you and do that to you because of me. They're going to need this peace that passes understanding to go through these trials, these fiery trials, deep waters. They're going to need this peace that Christ had. He said, I'm giving it to you. When you need it, you have it. When the worst thing that could, with all, when you have more pain than you've ever felt in your entire life, more misery, when you think all is hopeless, I'm going to give you peace. You're going to have peace. And the world is going to say, how did they go through this? Because Christ gave us peace. Somebody smile. My peace, I give it to you. Don't let your heart be troubled. That's one of the last things he said to them before that prayer. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. Whatever comes, whatever happens, Christ said, I'm sending it. I'm doing it. It's going to be painful. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be some of the hardest things you ever do. But he said, I'm going to give you peace. Be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome this world. I own this world. I rule this world. It's under my feet. It's in my hands to do with it. And very soon I'm going to fold it up like a vesture. And I'm coming back for you. And taking you to a world without end. A world without sin. And you're going to be with me forever. And you'll never have, I'm going to wipe away all tears. Nothing but joy and rejoicing forever. Those that knew me and loved me like you are going to be with me, you're going to be with them. Now, what's there to be troubled about? Huh? Go through a little pain? You go through a little pain. That's what he's saying. Now, on down, he said, I've told you this before it come to pass. Well, verse 28, you heard how I said I'd go away and come again. If you loved me, you'd rejoice. Oh, my. I'm so grateful. Christ went to the cross and went back to the Father. And aren't you glad that the high priest John went into the Holy of Holies and made a new way for us through the veil, his own precious blood, to the Father, and the Father accepted him, and we're accepted in the blood, and we're seated in him. Aren't you glad? We rejoice. See, we know more than they did. We know more than they did. And now I told you before it come to pass that when it has come to pass, you might believe. Everything he said came to pass. Brothers and sisters, everything I've tried to say that he said, everything I've just merely repeated that he said, has, doth, and shall come to pass. He cannot lie. God, who cannot lie, promised us eternal life. He did. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He said so. That's all I can do. Now he says, the prince of this world is coming. Who's he coming after? Who's he after? Well, Peter says he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But like our Lord in the garden. I can't wait to get to that. He went out in front of them. Say, if you seek me, yeah, let them go. The Holy Spirit's come. And there's nothing in me for him to find. No sin. There's nothing in me. He said, I defeated him once. I'm going to defeat him forever now. On your behalf. So let not your heart be troubled. The world, that the world may know I love the Father as the Father gave me commandment. And he's going to pray in his prayer, John. He said, I've glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do. Before it even happened, he said, it's done. Isn't that wonderful? Even so I do. And he said, arise. Let us go in. And let us do the same. I will arise and go to the Savior. All right, let's sing a closing hymn. Brother John.